Hello, and welcome to Securing Sexuality, the podcast where we discuss the intersections of intimacy
and information security. I'm Wolf Gorlick.
He's a hacker, and I'm Stephanie Gorlick.
She's a sex therapist, and together we're going to discuss what safe sex looks like in a digital age. Today, we're joined by Shakun Sethi, innovator, founder of Tickle Charge by Tickle Life, which offers payment solutions for high-risk industries. This was a project born out of her work as a sex ed entrepreneur, so she's joining us today to share that story, to talk about the challenges facing content creators, and just what we need to do to help people monetize their work. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited and actually a bit... You know, like my heart is like palpitating a bit as well, because I really want to see like, you know, what we're going to get out of this, because this is the first podcast that I'm having with somebody in the sex education and tech together talking about something which comes across as so boring, but it's actually one of the most exciting fields to be in, which is finance, fintech.
I don't think people are going to think this is boring at all. We have had Jackie from the Center for Intimate Justice on talking about advertising bans and the way that people are censored online. And to me, this just feels like a logical extension of that.
Absolutely.
This is another way in which people who are doing all kinds of work around sexual health and sexual pleasure and intimacy are kind of siloed and shoved off in this little box in a corner. And I don't think that's boring at all. I think that's anger-inspiring and fascinating.
I just say that, you know, anybody who gets into sexuality industry are special children of God because they are here to just fight. And that's it. Just fight and not to take anything out of it. So that is how it actually started, because I was running a sex ed platform called Tickle Life, assuming that I'm going to make millions and millions of dollars because this is my second startup. But then you start encountering all the problems, you know. You start encountering advertising problem. You start encountering, you know, you are flagged multiple places. You can't make money. You're just cornered at each and every sphere. And then ultimately, you just have to understand that this industry is a capitalist-oriented country. And an industry, and we all are, you know, like we all need money to make anything happen, to any shit happen. So we have to figure out the solution. If nobody else is doing it, might as well we do it. Because otherwise, if you don't have money, you just can't have your say.
So tell us more about how this all got started.
Sure.
You mentioned Tickle Life.
Yeah, so I was pretty excited. I was studying in Netherlands after my sabbatical, after my first startup, and I was super exhausted. But then it was so exciting, you know, when you see sex toy shops coming from India, and then you're like, oh my God, this is so crazy. But then how do you exactly know what things work as, you know, what you're supposed to experience, what you're supposed to know about them? And that was how Tickle Life was born. It started as a content platform, but then we had to start making money as well. And, you know, like something happens like from day one. And as an entrepreneur, you're supposed to understand what are the different kinds of inputs the universe is providing you. But sometimes you just ignore. The first thing was no bank wanted to take me. And it was just a sex ed platform. And nobody even tells you what you're supposed to say. So, you know, very nonchalantly going to the banks in US and telling them, hey, I want to do something about sex. You know, give me a bank account because I'm going to give you the money. It's supposed to be that simple. And then you start getting, you know, emails that, hey, we can't take you on. We can't take you on. And then you have to end up spending money which you really do not have to hire lawyers to get a bank account made. And then that bank account would not have the money that it was supposed to, because you've already spent that money on the lawyers, you know, which you're not supposed to. So that was how it started. But then we started making very small amount of money through our content platform. But how our content platform was formed was we used to have a lot of people from the industry who used to contribute. So my question to all of them was always, why are you doing this for free? Because one, I can't pay you, but why are you doing this for free? And the answer was always the same, that we want some place where our learning would always be safe. It still did not hit me what's happening, because, you know, I'm also not sitting in US that time. I'm in India, you know, sitting in my room and trying to create something and assuming that, you know, this happens and this is so simple. Everything is easy. So that's how a lot of tech that we started building for ourselves happened in Tickle Life, which was not the idea. Like, we ended up with our own podcasting hosting when we had to run a podcast. We ended up our own newsletter service when we had to run a newsletter. The lucky thing was that I had a tech team and I had experience of running a startup before. But 99.99% of the people in the sexual wellness industry do not have that. And now the time was, you know, now I need to make money. So we ran a very huge roadshow sex ed workshop, which was happening in three different continents, had over 10 educators. We had drag queens. We had, I don't know how many brands who wanted to work. And I was like, you know what? Now we're going to make money. And whoever had given us some money as angel investors, we're going to show them that, see, you know, you bet it on the right startup. And we already have our own platform. Everything is going to be perfect. So the moment the money started coming in, we started getting flagged by PayPal and Stripe, which was what we were using. So there are 400 people who want to attend. Everybody wants to give the money, but we can't take in the money. So then we created another temporary PayPal account, and we actually had to make somebody sit and just keep on, like, you know, pressing that, take the money in the account, take the money in the account, which is not flexible.
I was just not along because I can see that, right? Like, the tech is working against us. What are we going to do? Quick, sit down, hit the button, exactly. Please, to keep things flowing.
Exactly. So, and then, you know what? Something very interesting happens. You stop making money because you're so scared of getting censored and banned. And that was also something that was happening, you know, like subconsciously with me as an entrepreneur. So 80% of the people ended up coming for free. Whoever we could take some money from, we took. It was a big success, but on paper or in my bank account, it was not, because I've also ended up spending money. So then what I did was, I was like, you know what? If adult industry makes money, I think we need to go and figure out how do they do it? How do they take payments? And that was my journey towards going to different high-risk payment gateways and processors. And that's when I realized that, you know, we are in a very, 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 very difficult situation. Because what they do is, you tell them, hey, you know what, this is what I'm doing. I'm not even high risk. I'm not even adult. I'm just a sex ed platform, which follows all the compliances. But they would not even listen to you. They will just be like, you know what, take this or leave it.
Yeah.
And the transaction rates are crazy. You know, it's so bad. It's so bad that, you know, like, most of the time when I look at people's statements, I'm like, holy shit, how are they even making money if they're paying like 10, 12, 13% of the transaction rate to a processor? It just doesn't make sense. So then I wanted to do something else. I just needed a payment gateway. But just because everybody was giving me this input, all the processors who you end up finding, you know, like, you really need to, like, go inside and find. People will come onto the calls and they will not show you their face. You know, they would not listen to you. They would not even explain it to you what you're asking them. It just hit me that, you know, I might keep on slogging. I've already put so much of my life here. I'm an Indian. I come from a very small city. And now whenever somebody calls me, they just talk about sex. They don't talk about anything else. Like, you know, I'm not an individual anymore. So either I need to quit right now or I need to go really, really, really deep in. And that was how Tickle Charge was formed.
This is why we're friends. This idea that I have two choices. Either I give up or I just go all in is
yeah.
It's a mindset that is so necessary and so rare. And it's one of the things that I love about you is this idea that, I mean, I could walk away and find something easier, or I could be the one that owns the space of difficult work. And it's phenomenal. And I just, what you saw was my face lighting up when you said that.
Yeah. You know, Stephanie, I actually joke with my parents sometimes. Did you throw me while I was a kid? And, you know, there's something wrong in my head. I could actually be doing anything easy. I could be just doing, like, you know, what I was doing before and actually been making money. Why am I doing something so hard? You know, you must have done something, you know, like, you have to check, you know, or I need to go for an MRI. Something is not right. But But I just think, like, you know, you meet anybody in this industry, everybody's crazy, or else they would not be here. And that's what makes it such a fabulous industry. And, you know, like, I was a nobody, I'm still a nobody, but at least, you know, people talk to you. People tell you what they're going through. People are there to share the information with you. And that was also something, you know, that really pushes you, that if you are getting there, if you're going to go and directly talk to banks, a strange brown woman going and saying, like, you know what, my maths is bad. I have jack shit knowledge about payments, but I need you to work with me. And I promise you, I'm going to get you work. It's just because of the confidence that you have that, you know what, there's an industry which needs it. And if you're going to call somebody, they're going to be there for you. So that was how Tickle Charge was formed. It's been a crazy ride. We are learning so much every single day. So I'm just happy.
Such a good story. And as someone who's worked in financial services, as someone who's worked in banking for a while, I was doing security with payment processors and looking at that whole flow. So I vaguely understand the pieces. So this is one of those areas of like, oh, I get how all this gets together.
Yeah.
But one of the things that surprises me is that the industry is so adverse towards working with sexuality professionals, right? Even industries that are removed from the traditional, like, adult industry. And, you know, you think about something like Tickle, which I love the name, by the way. This isn't like, you know, some seedy back alley, you know, business or court of the internet or, you know, part of a town. Tickle Church, it just sounds very pleasant. And the website is so professional. And so what I want to ask you was, why do you think there is such aversion and such friction in this space? It surprises me.
Okay, so there are multiple reasons. I'll start with, like, you know, how most of the high-risk payments that you end up using, why, you know, they're charging so much. And they're only able to charge so much is because they've created an image, a mirage, that this is very, very difficult. That anybody who's getting into the industry is doing something illegal and we are the only one who can save us. So that's the one, you know, like, part of the piece. And they do not want to educate you. Because if you're educated, then you're going to be asking the right questions. And once you get the right questions, that's when, you know, you're going to start, like, you know, like, figuring out whether this makes sense or not. The second thing is, a lot of people keep on, you know, like, complaining, why does Stripe not work with us? Why PayPal doesn't work with us? They should work with us. We will make so much money. But then we also have to understand how their business model has evolved. So Stripe or PayPal, I'm going to be, like, giving you very, very basic information. I'm not even using the technical terms. They actually ended up taking one license. Okay. So they have one license and everybody they're putting in is under that single license. So if there's one bad apple, the entire system will fall. So they have to be very, very particular about what they're working with. And that's also how Stripe would work. So when PayPal and Stripe would work there, they would not take anything which has even a, you know, like, a percentage of risk involved. And quite frankly, they should not. Because then you have so many other players who are just doing, like, you know, maybe selling a t-shirt or maybe headphones. They all will be jeopardized just because there was somebody who was doing wrong. So these are the reasons why why PayPal and all of them would not do so, which is technically like an aggregate model. Okay. And the third reason is why this industry. A lot of issues have been faced because of money laundering. So even, like, we usually end up getting a lot of platforms which would look completely like a sex ed platform. Okay, but behind what's happening is, after a few days, if you view it, or after, you know, like, you have actually looked at the URLs and, you know, done your pre-vet, you will realize that they're actually doing something completely different. And if you look at any other industry, they will always follow the rules. Any industry, you look at tech, you look at a bottle maker, you look at everyone. But here the problem is, nobody even knows the rules. So I would be like, you know, hey, I am a sex educator. So I'm expecting a sex educator merchant account, but I'm actually projecting through my website as if it's an escort service. So nobody would give me a sex ed centric low risk merchant account, because when they look at my website or at the kind of work that I'm looking doing, it comes across as if I'm an escort service. And this completely boils down to two reasons. One is there's no education. You just think, a lot of us think that, you know, if you're selling anything to do with sex ed or sexual wellness, we have to come across as sexy. So there's a very thin line between adult and sex ed. And also the second thing is because there are so many bad players here. And how bad players work is there's something called licensing. So my website is ticklecharge.com. I will take a merchant account, which is processing on ticklecharge.com. Okay. But what happens is with a lot of adult platforms, they will create multiple, and you know, Wolf, you will understand, you know, you will create multiple URLs, subdomains. You know, I might create ticklecharge1.com, ticklecharge2.com, you know, and I'm using the same processing everywhere. So what's happening is the banks, Visa, MasterCard, they're not able to keep a check on all of them, which is something that they have to, you know, because they, everybody's answerable to someone. So these are like the major reasons why so many problems, you know, come. And what I've understood is that, you know, we just, and I was one of them, when we think about money, we just think that money is very confusing. So we don't want to understand it. Hey, I'm an educator. That's what I know. You know, this is so confusing. Oh my God, I just want to be a part of, you know, the advocacy group, which is saying like, hey, Stripe and PayPal should give me an account, because that's simple. But unfortunately, what we are doing, like I said, you know, like we have to be fighters, is not simple. And there's a reason why it's not simple, because they don't want everybody to take it, because they want to give it to you at a certain rate. So you have to understand what you're doing. And that also leads to a lot of problems.
Yeah, I can see that on the problem side. And so I got a couple questions on that. But first off,
please,
when you're describing the separation between you know, your business and being seen as an escort service, it reminds me some of the conversations we've been having about promoting our conference, right? And one of the things I keep saying to advertising people, look, we want to be sexy, but we don't want to be sexualized. We don't want to be like going out and having adult content to talk about this, because this is not an explicit show. That's not what this show is about. It's not what our content is about. And so I completely agree with you on that division. One of the things I wanted to understand a little bit better is when you say bad apples, right? Money laundering makes sense to me. I also hear a lot about chargebacks, where it's a fraudulent charge and people try and reverse it.
Absolutely.
What are some of the other bad apples? What are some of the other things that if someone is in one of these payment systems or one of these licenses that could put everything at jeopardy?
Okay, one of them would be like, you know, like I said, so it comes across as an escort service. But then there's also that you're actually money laundering. There's another one that, you know, you might give, like I'm not in US right now. I need an account. So I might make, you know, Stephanie as a proxy. But Stephanie has no idea. And Stephanie is actually acting like a proxy for like 15, 20 other companies. So that actually happens a lot here.
Yes, I see.
You know, and you don't know, like Stephanie would also, you know, maybe would not get to know about this. So then that happens. Then what happens is a lot of time, what happens with payment processors or payment gateways, they would say, okay, you know what, we can work with you. When they go to the acquirer bank, they're not going to project you as an adult or a sex ed. They will project you as somebody completely different. So for that, what they're going to say is, hey, you know what? Can you just make some changes on your website? Can you just, you know, bring everything down? Can you just take off the word, you know, sex, take off this word? So the acquirer bank is assuming that you're doing something else. But then later on, when they get to see it, like, hey, you know what? They're not. That means this merchant cheated me. You know, because ultimately it's happening in the merchant's platform. You know, that happens. So when we're talking about fraud, when you're talking about chargeback is really, really, really high. So anything where you're making any of the financial services work really hard will make it difficult for you to get an account. And that also includes keeping a check on what you're doing. So even your website, because you have sex in it, a lot of places would, like, you know, sooner or later, and if you start monetizing it and hopefully it becomes so big and, you know, like you start making a lot of money, it will be flagged. Because everything is not manually done, you know?
Yeah.
Like there are computers, there are, you know, like some codes that have been set who are going to be evaluating, you know, terms which are like, you know, SEX centric. And then they're going to come to you and say, like, you know, what are you doing? And even if you say, like, hey, you know what, this is not about sex, this is not, you know, like whatever you end up saying, they will still not understand it because they're like, then why did you use this term?
Right.
You know, like why? You know, there are like so many terms around. And that was the reason why, you know, we started with Tickle Life. I wanted to use a sexy word. But then because of the bank account mishap and my lawyers who had spent money on, and I wanted to take as much out of them as possible, they said, you can't have a mention of sex. So then it just depends on you. And I was in one conference a few years back, and one of the founders said that I don't care, you know, this is what I'm doing. So I'm going to go openly talk about it, which is absolutely fine. So you have to choose your battles. Are you ready to do it? Then and ultimately end up paying bomb on your transaction just because of your name. And then, you know, like after a few days getting advertising banned or XYZ banned, or do you want to go the other way? It's completely what journey or how hard you are as an entrepreneur that you want to run.
And I guess we're in good company because, you know, we already have been banned from advertising my practice as a sex therapist. And some of our conference advertising, that was one of the questions I had when we talked to the Center for Intimate Justice was, you know, I thought you guys just negotiated this with Meta. I thought you fixed it. But it's all consent agreements and it all still comes down to the discretion of the hosts.
See, Stephanie, there's also one more thing here. How much money are you able to give Meta? You know, and that is what I'm talking about. You know, it's a capitalistic, economy. You have to make money to have your say. You can sign thousands of documents, but if you're not able to give them the revenue that they need as an industry, you will not be heard. And if you see a lot of startups who actually had their ads there, is because they are able to pay that much money. It's very, very simple. So actually, as an industry, we have to really work together. How can we make more money with whatever resources we have, which is really a difficult task, but that should be the only objective, you know, rather than where should we market ourselves? Where should we, you know, get more popularity? It should just be like, you know, how do we make money if we want to get ourselves, you know, the place that we deserve anywhere?
This reminds me a lot of the situation that the LGBT community was in before Stonewall, where all of the, you know, queer clubs and the gay bars and the lesbian speakeasies were run by the mob.
Yeah.
Because they were considered marginalized, they were considered shady or scandalous, and polite society didn't want to be associated with them. So all of their opportunities for engagement were mafia run. And it results in sort of this, you know, it becomes like a social or institutional punishment for being bad, right? Like you're queer in the 60s or you're using SEX in your title in the 2020s. It's a punishment, but it's also a way to exploit people that are doing work that are stigmatized or people who are stigmatized. In the same way that the mafia could charge exorbitant rates for cover charges or drinks in a bar in the 50s, financial institutions are taking financial advantage of people who don't have another option. And that is a systemic injustice that I don't think enough people are talking about.
Exactly. And you know what? That's what's happening. So it was such a scary time when I was actually going to all these high-risk payment gateways. And process. It was really, really scary, you know, because you don't know what you're getting into. I'm not able to get hold of you to talk to you and give you business. How are you going to take care of my money? You're not there to give me answers. And on the call, it's so evident that I'm nobody for you. How am I going to work with you? You know? And it's a complete mafia channel that has been created. Like, you know, people are charging so much and you just have to pay. You can't do anything. You just cannot do anything. And that is the thing, like, you know, you have to have, like, we have to figure out some, you know, solutions that what do we do? You know, what do we even learn from LGBTQ? Because if you see a lot of advertisements, you can see a lot of big brands have started working with them. Obviously, then, you know, there are problems, but there's also something very interesting that's happening in the society. So what has been the ticker? What has been the, you know, the downfall? There's a lot of understanding there, because if we take it from there, we might be able to find solutions, because I still do not think solutions are going and sitting outside big tech companies and saying, like, you know what, you know, make us a part of your group. Because I really am. See, what happens is, I don't know if you're genuine or not. For me to know if you're genuine, I really need to put my resources to understand you. Do I have that much bandwidth to put that resource on? Right? So if Tickle Charge, while we are working, we could have actually closed hundreds and thousands of accounts by now. But because we have to look at each and every person and each and every company, and 99% of people do not even know what they're doing wrong, our speed is really low, and it becomes more like a social enterprise than a financial enterprise. We cannot expect that from other companies. You know, so what do? We have to work together, you know, like, we have to, like, just, like, come together and say, like, hey, you know what, let's work together. Let's find solutions to everything on our own. We should not be dependent on anybody else.
Yeah, be independent, take it back. And when we think about payment processors, right, just to take it up one level. So payment processors are like the Stripes and the PayPals, like you mentioned. They're the folks that take the credit cards and do the processing, and then they run it through their backends to MasterCard and Visa and what have you. When you're talking about high-risk payment processors, what do you mean there? Like, what are some of those? Like, that everyone knows the PayPals, but who are they?
So what happens is, you know, the most important thing here to look at is an acquirer bank who has the appetite for taking high risk. And 99% of the time, they do not like to be, you know, advertised.
Sure.
And there's a reason why, because, you know, then they will be advertised, and then, you know, like, you know, people are going to talk about them, and they'll be like, shit, now we can't take anybody. You know, so it's broken down for adult industry, for sexual wellness industry, or for high-risk industry in three parts. Number one is at the top, an acquirer bank, which says, okay, fine, I'm going to guarantee that what Stephanie is doing is correct. The middle part is the one who's processing. And processing is who's doing all the shitty work. And the last part is a payment gateway. You will 99% of the time see those traditional, you know, like authorized.net, or even the new payment gateways, which are, you know, based out of authorized.net, are the one who are actually working. And the reason is because the acquirer banks want something which is very simple. They've given a VAR sheet. They just want it to be simple. They just want to understand how things work. So these are like the three streams that work. If you're talking about payment gateway, then there are a lot of them which work in high risk. Then there is NMI, there is Invio, there is, like I said, you know, authorized.net, which people are still using. But if you look at it, like, for me, it was a big shock, because in India, the fintech industry is at a very different level. We don't have to wait for hours to get, you know, like, bank transfer. We just, like, get it done in like 5 minutes. And I was like, are you, like, kidding me? This is the USA, you know? We always dreamt of being in the USA. Like, what's happening with the finance? Like, why are you people so slow? Why the statements are so bad, you know? So that's how it works. But ultimately, the call is taken by the, whatever you call it, acquirer bank. Most of the high-risk payment processors or payment services that you hear about are CC Bill, SecPay. So we will be like a competition to them. Then there is Mobi, Quick, and a lot of them. Okay. But a lot of these people, And I'm not saying like which one out of them. A lot of them are called PayFax. So in a way, PayPal and Stripe is also a PayFac. And a PayFac means they've taken a super merchant account from the acquirer bank. Hey, we want a bigger account. We want that we should be able to transact $5 million per day, hypothetically. So they showed it to the banks, and banks said, cool, sure, take it. So once they've taken it, all of us fall under this. So we are not directly working with the acquirer bank. So we don't have a merchant ID. We have a sub-merchant ID. And that is the model that we all have been following in the sexual wellness industry, at least, because we are very small ticket size. Our industry does like 25,000 to 30,000 maximum per month, which is a very, very small ticket size amount for any of the banks to actually, you know, work with you directly. And that was what Tickle Judge, you know, was telling them, that, hey, you know what? You did not even know that sex educators make money. And they were like, no, they don't. No, they do. Really? Like, it was so crazy. I don't know, Stephanie, like on the last call that I told you, if I would have spent this much amount of time in educating the banks about this industry, I would have raised, I don't know how much money from a VC in the same time period. They had no idea that there's an industry for sexual wellness.
So how does Tickle Charge fit into this? How does Tickle Charge become part of that system and become the person that serves that industry?
So what we do is we're still working with CC Bill, like via CC Bill or via like SecPay. But what we're doing is we've not created like a master merchant account. We're actually saying you deserve to have your own merchant account and merchant ID, because your data is your data. Your data is not my data. If suppose Wolf also, and you were also my customer, and Wolf did something wrong, I should not be in a position to jeopardize you. You know, because then I'm flagged by my acquirer bank in saying, you know what, from your account, you people are making so-and-so problems. So we are going to keep a check on you. What am I going to do is, to save my back, I'm also going to ask you to make changes. And that's what, that is the reason why a lot of people are like, you know, de-platform very quickly. Hey, Wolf did this. Most probably Stephanie would also do this. So before something happens, might as well take her off. So what we're doing is, Wolf goes with us to the bank directly. The bank says, okay, this is what Wolf is doing. Wolf is doing adult, hypothetically. That means he's running a dating site. So then Wolf is 5967 as a merchant code. So Wolf's roles are going to be different. His information on the website is going to be different. The contracts that he's going to be signing with his collaborators, with everyone, is going to be very, very specific. But Stephanie is a sex educator or a therapist. So Stephanie's MCC code is going to be very different. And Stephanie is going to be doing something very, very, you know, simple. So Stephanie might be like 5964 if you're selling toys on the side. Yeah. So both of you will be seen differently, even though you both are talking about sex. And you both banks will directly know what you're doing. So that means if Wolf screws up, Wolf goes, because the bank has, you know, thrown Wolf off. But you're not bothered. You don't even know who Wolf is, you know? And as it is, even in a PayFac model, you would not know what Wolf does, but his karma also impacts your life. You know, that's the difference. We're just like going directly to the banks. We're saying, hey, you know what? This industry will make money. We'll give you the clients directly. The good part is, because your data is your data now, as a PayFac, I would always ask Wolf and you to give me a backend access 24/7. Morning, you can wake up and you will see that something is off, and you will just like, you know, message your payment processor or the service, and they will say, I think Visa deleted those. But actually, they've deleted them because they were like, you know what? Our account will go off, and, you know, our business will completely go off, like, you know, in like a single day. That's one, which is, you know, the security. The bad thing is, with us, it takes a little bit longer. because we are actually getting you verified. And we have to get you verified, because if there's a promise that you're going to get an account, then you better get an account. And for that, your verification is needed, because if you're not verified, you might get an account by proxy today, but in the next 2 months, you're off. And that actually happened to somebody yesterday from somewhere else. They were matched. So if you ever get an email for any sex educator, any therapist, anybody selling toys that, hey, you've been matched, that's not something to be happy about. That means you've been flat and you can't do business for 5 years. So when I heard the word match, I was like, isn't that a good term? Like matched, I'm matched. But apparently, no. Match actually means you've been flat, like badly flagged, and you've been like, you know, put aside that, hey, you know what, this person is not good, this company is not good, EIN, SSN number, everything goes for a toss. So that is the reason why a tickle charge might be, you know, take more time for you to get an account rather than in a single day. But it's just so that you can actually work and you can sleep, because I could not sleep and I did not have like a stable payment, and it led to anxiety. And I think that's the reason why a lot of us are so anxious about things, because everything is hard.
Yeah, and it's all up in the air, and the rules aren't clear, and there's feels like the entire system is rigged, at least from what you tell me, from what I hear from others. This solves the payment acceptance side. If the bank decides to de-platform you, right? So, for example, I've heard folks who are content creators and were caught up in a banking situation where the bank just basically closed all their accounts.
So the number one is the bank which you are using for your business. So you are a merchant, okay? Any business is a merchant. So that's one bank. If that bank goes for a toss, that's you're just unfortunate. You know, and second thing, what happens is a lot of them have stopped getting bank accounts actually right now. That's also happening. And we get like a lot of inquiries that, hey, you know what, can you open me a bank? So we started like looking around at services, and we found that people have been charging $6,000, $7,000 to help somebody open a bank account. You know, and I'm like, you know what, these people are not even making money. How will they spend that much money? That's how we can give you a bank account. So we are working, and we are like, you know, like really, really pushing to work on it. Hopefully next few months we should have like, you know, some partner who can at least just give you a bank account, because I think that's a very important piece of the entire puzzle. That's one bank. The next one is the acquirer bank. Acquirer bank is just related to your business. The acquirer bank doesn't know your name. They would not know it's World for Stephanie. They would just know you with a code, you know, like your account number. So they will know you with the code that you are in as an adult or as in a sex ed. Okay. A lot of time acquirer banks also deplatform you. When that happens, that's when your payment processing stops. That has nothing to do with your personal bank account. That has everything to do with the acquirer bank. So what we do is, from time to time, we keep a check on what you're doing. Every month, you get an education series about what are the new rules, what's happening on your platform, which you might be doing wrong. You're always open to ask questions like, hey, you know what, this is what I'm doing. Like, there are people who actually end up selling, you know, sending pictures. Hey, I'm going to be doing an education series, and I was thinking about wearing this. Is it okay? So we actually even respond like, you know what, you know, from these two, maybe you should wear this pink. It also makes you look prettier, you know. So it's just like, you know, you have to do a lot of hand holding. But then also what happens if suppose one acquirer bank takes you off, since we work with multiple, and if we know what the problem is, we help you place with another acquirer bank as well. So that's how it works. But usually an acquirer bank only would take you off if they have been flagged by their investors. That is the reason why you do not get to hear a lot about their names. Or secondly, you've really, really, really done, you know, amazingly well in, you know, like jeopardizing your future, which is again chargeback. And nowadays chargeback is really horrible how it's done. And you've heard about stories, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Chargeback is going off the roof. People usually say, like, you know what, I did not have money to pay for veggies this month, so hence I've applied for a chargeback on something that I was subscribed for. You just can't do anything. So that is the reason why you should not let, if you ever get a refund request, do not think twice. It's very unfortunate. Do not let this go to the acquirer bank. You still get a window of 24 to 48 hours. Try to solve it then and there, which means most of the time you might just return the money, or you might, you know, like say, hey, you know what, you had my product, keep it, enjoy. Or the third thing is that usually happen if you're a little bigger. There are multiple services, and we also have started providing a service as a joint venture where there are consultants, MasterCard facility, Visa facility, which we work to see if, suppose, if Shakun is swiping a card on Stephanie's website and I'm a ongoing offender, that means I usually buy stuff and then I ask for a chargeback, then you will, you know, like not even get to, you know, like I would not even get to actually pay you or swipe the card, which will help you to, you know, bring down your chargeback. And also, again, you must be like, you know, your refund policy is not correct. Maybe. If your refund policy is not correct, you are completely, completely in hot soup. So there are services now that are coming up. There are solutions. There's solution to everything. You just have to ask the right question. And that is why education is important.
Don't know why you warned us that this would be boring. I have found this incredibly fascinating. And my social worker brain, forget my sexual educator, sex therapist brain, my social worker brain is firing. Because I remember early in my career, in several different agencies and contexts, I worked with people that were unhoused or that were at risk of becoming unhoused or that were couch surfing with friends. And one of the biggest challenges to people being able to move from homelessness into a more stable environment was their access to banking. And in the social work world, we literally talk about this as, you know, the population of the unbanked, people who might be working a minimum wage job and don't have enough to open a bank account at any given time, or are hit by fees so constantly that it doesn't make sense to them to maintain it. So instead, they use check cashing places who take $20 to cash their paycheck, but it's cheaper than a $35 overdraft fee at the bank. And this idea that some people are simply too poor to afford a bank account is a huge barrier to people having a stable, basic needs providing life. And we often think about that in terms of the unhoused community and from a social work perspective, but I don't think we've ever really thought about it from the other side of people who are artists and educators and entrepreneurs and content creators who are at risk of losing their access to their livelihood, not because they can't afford to be banked, but because the banks are saying, no, we don't want you. And I think that listening to you talk about finance and banking and the intricacies of how payment processing works as a social worker who's had a lot of experience on the other side with the, it's easier to pay $15 to the check cashing place than $35 to Chase, has really given me a dramatically different sort of conceptualization of how systemic injustice in money and finance and banking works. And I want to thank you for that.
Thank you so much. Like, you know, for not finding it boring. It's just like, you know, I'm actually geeking about, you know, payments, about banking, about things. It's just, you know, it's very like, it's horrible. And there's a reason why it is so. Because then you're actually able to make a lot of money. You know, so I come from India, and India is considered to be a, you know, country of Kama Sutra, but we do not talk about sex anymore. And I was talking to somebody like, you know, why don't we talk about sex? You know, why can't I just wear like really, really, you know, why can't just like openly just go out and, you know, just like, where did Kama Sutra life go? And the answer was very simple, that it's all politicized. You know, they have to subjugate you in order to take something out of you. So if you think about sexuality, if you think about, you know, adult industry, they are not doing something wrong. But because they make it so difficult, and that's how they're able to take so much money out of you. Like when I'm saying, like, you know, they will take $5,000, $6,000, you need a bank account. You can't be taking account, you know, money in your personal account. How much can you take? You can take, like, you know, you can push to $50,000. But if you're good, you're going to make more money. But you would need a bank account. Otherwise, there will be repercussions. So what is the best option that you will take? You will go and you will say, listen, I'm going to give you $5,000. And that's how this industry works. You know, that's how it is so difficult. Like, I was so uncomfortable. So I have a rule, whoever I do business with, I want to see them. And if you're not ready to put your screen on, I am not comfortable, you know. And that is how this industry is, because they also, you know, make you feel so uncomfortable. And when you're uncomfortable, that's when you take wrong decisions. And that's how it happens. Like, you know, in India, I was trying to help someone, and we don't even target India because India is a very different ballgame altogether with different rules and regulations. So there is someone who can work here, but then there is an obnoxious cost just to say yes. And the reason is because they're not making money. And I was like, obviously, if they're not making money, how are they going to pay this? You know? That's this industry, because this industry, people just have this illusion that everybody makes a lot of money. And guilty as charged, I was of the same assumption before joining. And that was my pitch to my angel investors that, hey, you know what? I'm going to make you like at least 50% off, you know, like 50% more. But that's not the case. There's hardly anybody who's making money because of all the issues that we go through.
So as we move towards the end of our conversation this time, because you and I are going to keep talking, we always do, and you're going to be with us in Detroit, so there's going to be lots of conversation around this. But as we move towards the end of this episode, you know, so often people think that the adult industry is this billion-dollar monolith, and it is in a very small and distinct way. The adult industry, capital I, absolutely is. But there are so many independent people who don't want to be connected to an industry, who might be doing this as a form of creative expression or as a way to educate people and not for prurient interests that people tend to think of when we talk about sex and sexuality and intimacy. And because of that, this very much is a social justice issue. This is a way that individual people are making their living and contributing to their community. And I'm curious, you know, as we head towards the end, what guidance would you give people who are maybe like me and, you know, mental health professionals wanting to do good work, but who are also allied with those people who are maybe just creative, sensual expressionists who want to put their art and their bodies out into the world? What can we do to support one another, to challenge the systemic injustice, and to make sure that people have access to the resources they need?
See, I'm going to break this into two. Number one is, if you're thinking about making money, then you have to understand that you can't be scared of numbers. And you need to be educated. It's very important. I was shit scared, and I'm not kidding. The reason I took so long was because I was scared. You know, what is this? What is this? You know, like, what are these? Like, every 2 months, a new policy changes. But people do not want to understand it. You know, like, people just go blank. I don't want to, like, you know, I know my marketing. I know my customer. That's it. That's one part of it. The second is about allies. Because, like, you know, how I've been saying that we cannot be dependent on high tech, because ultimately high tech is run by people who are not resonating with what we are doing as an entire industry. We have to really, 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 you know, like, support each other. And it could be in multiple ways. So I'll give an example. If I am a therapist, or if I am a social worker, for me to reach from here to there, I need multiple resources, multiple advice, multiple counseling, you know, on different fields. So if I'm an ally, I have to understand what you need. It can't be just like, you know, me posting about you on LinkedIn. It has to be like, hey, what do you exactly need? You know, so and what I understood was one of the biggest reasons why a lot of us are not, you know, able to make money, all the issues kept aside, because obviously few people are able to make money, is that we ourselves are not able to ask the right question and ask, you know, what do we really need? And all our allies, we just end up collecting them in a single field. So we really have to, you know, like broaden our horizon. And that was the reason why I found this very exciting, because there is tech, a very completely different field. There is, you know, something to do with sexuality working together. You know, and that is the reason why this podcast makes so much sense. So we have to actually go out of our cocoon. And we would find that there are a lot of allies who would assume that, you know, this is the only thing we can do, but actually they can do a lot of other things. So we need those outsiders. We need to welcome them, tell them what are our issues, rather than just telling them, hey, this is what I need, because a lot of time things just come. You know, so it has to be an amalgamation of a lot of things. We have to take a lot of maybe advice from, you know, like how Bay Area was formed. There are different startups, but they're all working together. I need to raise funds. I know, like, you know, there are going to be like 10 different tech pros I can go to. You know, I love using this word, tech pros, I can go to. They might think like, you know, I'm a woman, so poor woman, you know, she needs our support, but whatever, you know, they're still going to connect me to those 10 people. I need this thing, you know, so there is a community and everybody's not doing the same thing, but everybody actually has the real end goal, which is to create revenue. Here, it's about, you know, to express ourselves for sexuality, for, you know, for making a change, for making a dent, but we all end up working together. We have to go out of the cocoon. And I was just like, oh my God, I just know people in sexuality. I've stopped knowing people outside. You know, you just become stagnant. And I think that's also one of the major things that we have to like really, really shift in our industry as a whole.
I want to thank you so much for your bravery. I want to thank you for willing this this service, this Tickle Charge into life. This is fantastic. I really appreciate the conversation today.
Thank you. I have no idea why I was supposed to do it, but I just think like I was born to do this. So hence I'm doing this.
It's great to have you with us. It's great to have you, listener, joining us. Thank you so much for tuning in to Securing Sexuality, your source for the information you need to protect yourself and your relationships.
Securing Sexuality is brought to you by the Bound Together Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit, together in partnership with our conference sponsor, Adam and Eve. From the bedroom to the cloud, we're here to help you navigate safe sex in a digital age.
Be sure to check out our website, Securing Sexuality, to links for more information about the topics we discussed here today, as well as our live conference in Detroit.
Where, if you're curious about how this works, you can talk to Shakun in person and join us again for more fascinating conversations about the intersection of sexuality and technology. Have a great week.